Arash Madani joins us in the program right now, our Sportsnet CFL insider. Hello, Arash.
How you doing, Patrick?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. And that was one throwback performance for the ages from Henry Burris. I would say he's good for four or five of those turn back the clock moments where he's 400, 500 yards, you know, very good completion rate, bunch of touchdowns. And that was incredible what Henry Burris did yesterday against the Montreal Alouettes.
It was remarkable. I mean, you know, you look at the stat line, 300 yards, almost 300 yards, one touchdown, 24 completions. You say, that's not a bad day at the office. Then you realize it's halftime. You know, it's remarkable what he did, 1 yard shy of 500. The real question now, Pat, becomes legitimately how much longer can he do this? I mean, Burris has completely rejuvenated football in Ottawa nearly single-handedly. And last night's performance, yeah, was for the ages, was as good as we've ever remembered it. And it's amazing at the ripe young age of 40 that Hank is still continuing to sling it at this level.
So with Zach Collaros done for the season, with not a ton of, you know, really resounding MOP candidates right now after that, is Henry Burris all of a sudden in the running for that award?
How is he not? How is he not a favorite? How is he not a front runner for that award at this point, Pat? I mean, look, with all due respect to Bo Levi, and we all know what Mitchell's done here, is there a more outstanding, dominant, valuable player in the league right now than Henry Burris, who has propelled the Red Blacks at this point in October to second in the East, to, you know, completely turning around a two-win expansion season, and then throwing for 500 yards against that defense? Look, that, it's one of the great, great stories, not just of this season, but of this league. I mean, we saw Damon Allen at a vintage age play at a high level, but a lot of what Damon did was short underneath stuff, was a lot of option stuff, was a lot of screens and, you know, hitch passes, underneath throws. Henry can still stretch the field. We saw it last week against Saskatchewan, a couple weeks ago against Saskatchewan with the game hanging in the balance. Thank you very much. A 53-yard deposit back shoulder along the sideline that set up the, you know, that was effectively the game-winning throw. What Burris is doing is not just remarkable for this season, it's remarkable for a career. But please show me another player more outstanding than Henry Burris in this league with Zach Collaros out. And I have a hard time believing any kind of argument of anybody other than number one.
And the fact that, you know, you make that argument, it's tough for me or anybody else to argue with you. And he's doing it at the age of 40. Like, this really is incredible stuff for Henry Burris. And quite honestly, you know, we got to know him so well in his time here in Calgary. And, you know, he truly is one of the great ambassadors for the Canadian Football League.
Without a doubt.
To see this is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it really is. And look, Burris is a fixture on so many of the marketing campaigns and at Grey Cup weeks. Look, this dude gets it. He gets the off-the-field stuff, which in the CFL is just so critical, too. It's hard not to root for a guy like that. And it's amazing. Even in Saskatchewan, they've somewhat turned the other way. They've almost come full circle. Not quite. There's still some people there who still have, you know, harbor a lot of bitterness and resentment towards Burris. But even then, I mean, this, we're talking about a guy. I mean, look what he did last night. Not just the 500 yards, Pat, but the most completions in a single game in CFL history, eclipsing Anthony Calvillo. Right? I mean, you want dominance at not just from a yardage standpoint, but from an efficiency standpoint, he's still getting it done, too.
No doubt about it. He's Arash Madani. He's our Sportsnet CFL insider. So the Red Blacks crushed Montreal yesterday, an Alouettes team who last week missed this golden opportunity to take a two-game lead in the crossover playoffs by losing to a then 1-11 Saskatchewan team. And they're humiliated by Ottawa yesterday. They've got a losing record. Yeah, they're in a playoff spot right now, but it's tenuous at best. How bad are things in Montreal right now?
Oh, they're real bad. I mean, let's just look at what's gone on the last few weeks. First, they fired their head coach, Tom Higgins, after a win in Vancouver where they hadn't won in a decade. Then they come back, and a couple of weeks later, Pat, they fire their offensive coordinator and put Anthony Calvillo and Ryan Dinwiddie in charge. Their offense has lacked imagination and any kind of results the last 2 weeks. And then at halftime last night on the television broadcast, Jim Popp is critical of the defensive scheme. Well, at some point here, the general manager, now the acting head coach, has to look in the mirror and say, I have not brought in a quarterback since Anthony Calvillo to deliver. It's the talent I've brought in on the defensive side that's not getting it done. Our skilled guys are just not performing. Now, the Owls started last year 5-7 and got into the playoffs. But, they went with, I think, their sixth quarterback of the season last night when Anthony Boone got into the mix. Sixth quarterback.
Yep.
Rakeem Cato wasn't hurt last night. And, it was all the rage when Rakeem Cato had a couple of good starts and people in Regina were livid that how did we let this guy go when he was on our neg list and Montreal got him. He's going to be the heir apparent to Calvillo. No. No, he's not. And there are big issues in Montreal. They're not selling out their building. They're losing football games. There's clear dissension within the ranks. And they continue to lose. And yet, as you said, they find themselves still in the playoff spot. It's amazing. Three games below 500. It's amazing.
It tells you how bad some of those West Division teams have fallen this year.
Yeah.
Now, one piece of good news, I guess, from a Montreal standpoint, Henock Mwamba decides to sign there. What could his addition mean to Montreal?
Well, it means that they finally have themselves a middle linebacker for the first time since early in the season when they lost Bear Woods for the year with a torn pec. I mean, Woods was one of the most dynamic defensive players the league had. And after that, they went with Kyler Ellsworth, and he got injured. Then they went with the Canadian Nick Shorthill, who looked out of place. And now they have themselves an established Canadian who had more than 100 tackles in his last year in the CFL before going to the Colts. And he's a ratio changer who can start for them. Can he stop the deep ball? I don't know. We're about to find out. Now, Mwamba is also going to help because he's bilingual, and in that market, they can use him for marketing opportunities. And, from the conversations and from the comments that have come out of Montreal, Pat, the plan is that Noel Thorpe, the defensive coordinator, is going to tailor some of the defensive schemes, the ones Pop was critical of, and some of the defensive game plan around Henock Mwamba. Let's understand, this was the first overall pick of the CFL draft 4 years ago, a guy who spent some time in the National Football League on special teams and as a linebacker on defense. So the talent is there. Now is a matter of can he make an impact right away to salvage the season from a defensive standpoint and then ultimately immerse himself as the dude, as the identity of a defense that's relied on way too many Americans, quite frankly, the last few years with Chip Cox and Gerald Brown and Bear Woods and the rest of them onto that defense. We'll see. He was, as you said, he was the most sought-after free agent. Now he's in Montreal. Now it's... the recruiting pitch is over. Now it's about going to ball.
So Montreal loses last night to start off week 15 of the season, continues tonight with the Stampeders heading into Hamilton, and they're facing an absolute unknown at quarterback with Jeff Matthews taking the snaps. So what can they expect from the Ticats offense minus Zach Caleros?
Well, what they want to tell you, Pat, is that Matthews can execute the entire playbook, and that's just a fallacy. That just can't happen. As intelligent as Matthews is, being a Cornell guy and being in Ken Austin's system, and having been through training camp and, this season, they just simply can't use that entire expanded, arsenal of offensive plays. So they're going to they had a bye week to prep him for it. So they've basically put together packages that they believe is going to work well with his skill set. They think he has a strong arm, Pat. So will they test that Stampeder secondary early? On top of that, they're going with another new running back. CJ Gable's hurt. Ray Hawley stepped in. Nick Rigsby stepped in. Now they're going with Michael Ford, who they believe is a bigger, stronger back and be more of a downhill, aggressive runner who's also very good in pass protection. They want to make sure Matthews stays upright, and Ford is also a guy who can catch the ball in the backfield. And, Pat, they want to mix it up from a tempo standpoint. Don't be surprised if you see some no-huddle thrown in there. Don't be surprised if you see more of a speed offense thrown in there just to keep that Stampeder defense a little off base, just to keep them honest, and just to keep them on their heels. without Burnett, without Juwan Simpson, it's a different kind of looking Calgary defense, and Hamilton's trying to exploit that without their number one quarterback and going with the kid at number two.
He is Arash Madani. He's our Sportsnet CFL insider. Yesterday, the announcement was made. The 2016 Grey Cup will be played in Toronto and at BMO Field, but it's going to be outdoors. And you know, we know what happens in November in this country when it's outside. Why outdoors? Why have they decided to go down this road?
Well, it's a political play, Pat. I mean, as it often is with these things. And it's also one of those deals where it's going to be the centennial anniversary of the Maple Leafs. Late November 2016, you can keep the temporary seating in place for the Winter Classic 2017. That hasn't been announced yet, but expect the Maple Leafs to host a game January 1st. This is all kind of part of the city of Toronto, the CFL, the Argonauts, with new ownership kind of coming together and making this work. Larry Tannenbaum, who's part of this Argonaut ownership group, is also, you know, part owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs. This was all kind of making this happen and bringing it all together. The comical part of yesterday was hearing about the bright future the CFL has in Toronto as a statement, not as a forecast, not as a hope, but to say that, you know, it's bright just because we're moving outdoors. Look, Toronto's hosted Grey Cups before. They had it in 07. They had it in 2012, and they won it 3 years ago, and nothing's worked. This has to work or else, you know, or else it's the doomsday scenario. But they've given it to Toronto as, you know, that was part of the guarantee of them changing ownership and bringing the new ownership group in. And as a result, the game will be played outdoors.
Now, this year, Grey Cup's being played in Winnipeg, and what a disastrous season it's been for the Bombers. But maybe some good news, at least when it comes to the finale of the season or the final stretch of the season. There's a chance they might get Drew Willey before the end of the season. Is that right?
Yeah, the starting quarterback of the team has been out with that knee issue, Pat. He met with the media in Winnipeg this week. He wants to play. He expects to play. He wants to make a return. And it's important not as much for the Blue Bombers as it is for Willie himself, because the way his contract is structured, with the guaranteed money that he's been given, he's got a rich contract for next year and the year after, but none of that money is guaranteed until 2016. The Blue Bombers still have to make a decision of whether or not Drew Willie's going to be their guy moving forward. And twice this season, he's gone down with injuries that have knocked him out for a little while. And when you're making that evaluation of, can we rely on this guy, can he be our guy, then it becomes interesting. And as we know, the quarterback position is in high demand right now. So, you know, do the Blue Bombers kind of even if they're unsure, do they have to extend themselves and keep Willie around just because who knows what's happening with Zach Collins? He still hasn't had his ACL surgery. When's he going to be ready? What's the future of Kevin Glenn? Where's he going to end up? Montreal still doesn't have itself a quarterback. So it's audition time, not just for Willie for 2015, but for he and the organization looking ahead.
Final thought for you. A very quiet retirement this week in the Canadian Football League. Who's that?
Yeah, out in BC. I mean, Travis Lulay went down with a knee injury. They actually plucked him off the 6-game injured list to bring him back. John Beck had started in his spot, Pat. He was a second-round NFL pick of the Miami Dolphins coming out of BYU, went to Washington as well. Beck started a game, came in relief, and then he tore his pec also. Beck's gone back home, and he's basically decided to hang him up. He's not going to play professional football anymore. He's a guy in his early 30s. He's been away from his family for too long. It's just not worth it for him from a lifestyle standpoint. So he'll rehab away from Vancouver. He's got a pregnant wife. They already have, you know, a couple of kids. And so that's it for the John Beck era in the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, Beck, one of those guys who started pro football late, finished college, then went and did his mission, and then started his professional career, which is why he's a little bit older after being drafted not that long ago. Arash, where are you today, by the way? Like, where are you calling?
I am actually in Denver, Colorado, my friend. We have ourselves a family trip this weekend. My mom, my dad, and my sister to watch the Broncos and the Vikings on Sunday.
Oh, go Vikings.
I'm enjoying myself for the next couple of days until I'm miserable all day Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. Well, go Vikings, and hopefully you don't have to be too miserable while you're watching that game in Denver. That's awesome, man. We'll talk to you on Friday, hey?
All right, Pat. Thanks, bud.